his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
The fact that you have these ministries, it was amazing. You have something that you you have once in a while on a Saturday morning, and it shows you have these different videos, and you're there, and you show everybody what you do. You have a ministry that goes out for the homeless. You have a ministry that goes out for those that are addicted to alcohol or drugs. You have those that go into the woods and visit with the homeless or visit prostitutes. Now you've started the House
Transfiguration,
which is near and dear to my heart because I had somebody close to me in my life who was an alcoholic and was saved at a place like that years ago. What is the House of Transfiguration, and how did that come to pass?
Well, we had one of the ladies that was on my team was working specifically in the homeless camps in Vero Beach, and there are many. You know, many people may not know that, but we have a very large homeless community in Vero Beach, and we were working in those camps, and one of the biggest problems we were having was we had nowhere to take the woman. You know, so we would try and help them, and then they would go straight back into those environments, which were extremely toxic. So, you know, she came to me one day almost like in tears and said, we have to do something. So we tried to, and we were trying to buy tents for them and trying to do all kinds of things. And we felt that we need to find a property and do something. We really felt led by the Spirit in prayer that this is the right thing to do. And so we started the House of Transfiguration with that purpose, to try and help women, not necessarily homeless, any woman that's in a broken state, in a hurting state, in an addicted state that needs help.
An abused state.
Yeah, an abused state. I mean, we've had all types of women come through the program.
Yeah.
And it's been really incredible to see that. But I want to say this, and I think this is important. I have a group of individuals in our church that want to share what they've experienced with the Lord with others. You know Pastor Brian. He's our, you know,
evangelist.
Our house evangelist. I mean, you know, him and his wife Erin are just, you know, I remember before they came on the team, you know, they would be at 7-Eleven and they can't go into 7-Eleven and just buy a drink because they start ministering to people.
Well, how about that son of his?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, and the thing is, that's one example. Mm. You know, I have many in the church like that. Many people that are passionate about bringing people to the Lord. That's our mandate. So we feel very, very serious about that mandate, about that. And I know this, Rhett, we are not the only church. There are many churches in the community that are doing a great job, you know, that are reaching the lost, that are seeking,
sure.
You know.
Yeah. What do you think about this whole thing with after the thing that was happening in Kentucky with the Holy Spirit taking over that school?
Yeah.
Church, and then at the timing, they worked 8 years on Jesus Revolution. It comes out right at the right time. There's a new movie out I saw recently, My Only Son, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, my word. See it, buy it. What I'm doing is I go to the theater a couple times, and then I buy it anyway, even if I never watch it for a while at home.
Yeah.
But My Only Son is phenomenal. Matter of fact, I just called the director the other day and spoke with the secretary. He's going to be on my show in a few weeks. But I just was taken aback, and they made the whole thing for $250,000. The average film takes $50 million. And he even himself is this young 30-ish-year-old. I presume he's at least 30, but he sewed the garments that are seen on the actors in the movie.
Amazing.
And it's just an amazing. I would like to get your thoughts when you see that. But now Oceans Unite has expanded incredibly. Okay, so you start off with something downtown, then you moved out to the mall, and then recently you had to expand that because now you got people all the way to the back walls in the back. What's going to happen next? I mean, you're going to have to build a stadium. Will you stay there? Are you going to end up buying the mall? What's going to happen?
Well, I don't think we're going to buy the mall because it's a project that would be not only would we be buying the mall, but it would also be, you know, to try and change it into a proper suitable church.
Yeah,
it's not for us that, you know. We're still praying about that. We know that we have to expand in the near future, and we're just waiting on the Lord to give us clear direction. I don't like to move until I have peace. I have no peace yet on anything. The only thing I feel like God is saying to me is just to wait a while, and because the doors are going to open for what we need to do next. Right now, I feel like, you know, at least till the end of the year, we'll be fine where we are. You know, I think by the end of the year, though, we'll probably need to make some kind of an adjustment to fit the growth.
Yeah, it's kind of expanding. I mean, you know, you go from 12 people to 50 people. That's one thing. Then you go from 50 people to, you know, 100. Then you went to, you know, 400, 800. Now it's 1,000. Now if it continues to move exponentially, that means within a year it could be 2,000. And
you can't
accommodate that many in there, even though it's a huge, what do you call it, an auditorium or sanctuary?
Well, I tell you, I don't think we've seen growth the way we have in the last 3 months before ever in the church.
Yeah.
And I truly believe it's because we made a decision, you know, as a church group. My pastor in South Africa ministered a message right at the beginning of the year on the importance of baptism. And I really felt in my heart that he hit the mark with that,
okay,
with that
what
sermon.
What is baptism? Is it a public announcement? And it's a, like Jesus said, if you declare me before man, if you deny me before man, one day I'll deny you before my Father. If you declare me before man, one day. But the thief on the cross didn't have to get baptized.
No,
the other guy.
Absolutely. I mean, you know.
So you don't have to be baptized, or do you?
Well,
I don't want to speak ill. I don't want God to get mad at me.
Look, if no, like you said, the thief, and there are other examples in Scripture of people that didn't get baptized that we really do believe went on to be with the Lord, because the Bible says that you must believe to be
saved.
So
what is baptism, and why is it pleasing to the Lord?
Well, because it is. It's a public affirmation, confirmation of your faith, agreeing to the death and resurrection of Christ. You are baptized into Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, now your pastor, though, in Africa this past year, started to do this preaching, and at the end of the service, started to baptize people. You started to do that a couple of months ago, and all of a sudden you're getting, I mean, you had how many people come forward on Easter Day?
Well,
you know, I
don't know.
Lots and lots.
I don't know the amount of salvations off hand, but we had 24 baptisms on Easter Day.
Wow!
But I mean, we had a Sunday just about four weeks before that where we had 63 baptisms.
63 that were not organized. It was not organized.
Well, the most amazing
it happened
thing,
spontaneously.
Well, this is the most amazing thing, is that every Sunday I get to church and I think there can't possibly be another baptism today. And there's not a Sunday that goes by that we don't baptize at least 3 people.
Where are they coming from?
They get saved. They get saved that morning, and then they get
baptized.
That's
amazing.
But if you look at Scripture, that's what they did in the book of Acts. There was no waiting.
Let me ask you this. Now, I have a friend of mine. I have to go by my own experience.
Right.
That's all I know.
Right.
I did not believe in Jesus. I thought it was a bunch of baloney. At the age of 29, suddenly all these people are witnessing to me. I say, okay, I'm going to take a chance. All right, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead. Nothing happened.
Right.
You know, I'm a fool. I don't know what was going on. I guess he was drawing me, because all of a sudden I was just like, I was yelling at the ceiling and going, okay. I said, I'm a fool to live without God. I mean, you made me. You were my creator. I said, all right, I believe Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins, rose from the dead. And then I said, and I surrender my life to you. That's when the Holy Spirit came into my bosom. And I sat down in a rocking chair, and I went, wow, you're real. I knew instantly why people did drugs. I said, drugs are the counterfeit. This is the real thing. This is why people do drugs, because they're looking for this. And then I said, oh, the black folks are right. They used to talk about happiness. Oh, no, joy.
Yes.
And I thought happiness and joy were synonyms, and this was bubbling over joy, which lasted for me months and months. Now, I had another friend, very wealthy guy, a drunk attorney at law, got saved, got sober, and he'd go up to a toll booth, and he'd say, hey, sir, do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Yes, that he rose from the dead? Yes. I said, you've just been born again, and he drives off. There's another guy on TV who I happen to like. He's a TV preacher, but he says, well, we believe you just got born again. No. I don't believe God's that easy of a catch. He says, you will find me if you seek me, when you seek me with all your heart. How, so, you know, because you've got it, there are some people, you know, the chaff, the wheat, the whole thing. So how do you differentiate from those who, you know, to know that they are in fact truly have made a conversion, not just some intellectual agreement?
Well, I do believe that, you know, salvation means that you've now given your life to Jesus. You know, you believe and you have now given your heart to him. He has become the Lord of your life. So the fruit of salvation will be someone's life will begin to change. You know, someone's life does begin to change. It can take time. It's a process, because the Bible speaks about being saved even after you have been saved. So you know, we're a spirit, soul, and body. I don't want to get too much into that, but your mind is constantly being saved and being transformed. But when you give your life to Jesus, if you truly do it, if you truly have made a commitment to the Lord, and I stand before people now every Sunday because we do altar calls every Sunday,
yeah.
And people are getting saved every
it's
Sunday.
It's amazing.
And I tell you, when they come forward, I can see something's happened. I mean, I look at their faces, and you know, it's incredible.
Listen,
you know, it's so incredible, Rhett.
We're running low on time for this interview. We'll continue this in a couple of weeks. But right now, if there's somebody out there who maybe had an abortion when she was younger, or a man that encouraged his girlfriend or wife to have an abortion, or if there's somebody out there who's robbed banks, or maybe they're involved in an illicit affair, or they're doing something wrong right now, I would like it if you would lead. They might want to. If you're out there, you might want to pray. Okay,
right.
And this could be your moment of conversion. I remember listening to Billy Graham when I was a kid on the radio one day, and I finally got it. Oh, in other words, whatever you have, all those tin cans on strings that are tacked, you're dragging them along. You got all that weight on your shoulders. Jesus says, take my burden as light, right?
Right.
And so could you lead the listeners now into a sincere and proper surrender to Jesus?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. If you're out there and you're listening and you felt by this conversation that Rhett and I had that you want to surrender to the Lord this morning or this afternoon, whenever you're listening to this, you know, all you have to do is really believe. And that's the key here, is you have to really believe and really make a decision to surrender to Him right now. So we're going to pray this prayer. I'd love to lead you in this prayer. And it's not a complicated prayer. The important thing is that you mean it from your heart. That's what's important. So let's pray this together. Let's say, Father.
Father.
I come to you right now.
I come to you right now.
I believe.
Jesus died.
And rose again. He is the Son of God.
He is the Son of God.
Today, I give my life to you. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Make me whole.
Make me new.
Write my name. In your book of life. Now fill me, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Come, Holy Spirit.
And that's all you have to do. Just believe in your heart. Make that sincere decision right now, and your life can totally be changed.
All right, we've been talking with Pastor Alex Pappas. He's the lead pastor out there at Oceans Unite in Vero Beach, Florida. You're welcome to come. There's a Saturday night service and two on Sunday. Would you give us the times, please?
It's Saturday night, 6 p.m., and then Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. We'd love to see you. Come out and visit us.
And they have multiple ministries that you can join up with that minister to prostitutes. They go out into the woods and help these homeless that have actually villages in the woods, et cetera, out there doing it. And that's what I'm really touched by. Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks,
I know you're very busy for taking time
out
of your schedule.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
All right. Oceans Unite at the mall in Vero Beach, Florida.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.